Now please remain standing as we welcome the lead singer of the rock group Rush as he honors his native land with his presentation of the Canadian National Anthem. Please welcome Mr. Geddy Lee.
The true north, strong and free, from far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard for
such a strange coincidence. 3 days before the United States of America celebrates its Day of Independence, our kindly, soft-spoken neighbor to the north celebrates the day when New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, and the province of Canada, which would shortly split into the provinces of Ontario and Quebec, united in confederation. On July 1st, 1867, the country we know as Canada was born. We know them for who they are. Here in Minnesota, at times, Canada just seems like our state reinvented as an entire country. They put that funny little word at the end of their sentences. They gave us the phrase, "How's it going, eh?" They play hockey better than just about anybody. They have a funny way of saying words like out, and in a quaint, if strange, tradition, they are still a part of the British Commonwealth and recognize Queen Elizabeth II as their monarch. Their prime minister is something of a rock star. Also, Canada has supplied the world with some of the best music ever made. I often joke about my musical Mount Rushmore having five faces on it. Well, two of those faces are Canadian and three are American. That's not bad when you consider that the population of the United States is roughly 10 times the size of Canada's. It is a beautiful country filled with amazing and proud people. If it is sometimes overshadowed by its big, rich, raucous neighbor to the south, the country does not seem to mind that much. They're doing just fine, thank you. They have good maple syrup. They have Tim Hortons. And everyone is really nice because they all have health care. And today, Canada is celebrating its 154th birthday, so we're going to help them out. Tonight, we're going to hear some amazing music, all of it from the last 50 years or so, some of it much more recent than that, and all of it from the Great White North. Tonight, we wish a very happy birthday to Canada. My name is Rich Larson. His name is Daniel G. Moyer. This is the weekly list, eh? Well, well, good evening, everybody. You're listening to AM 1080, FM 95.1, KYMN Radio in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota. Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of the weekly list. I like Canada.
Sure, yeah, you betcha.
That's Minnesotan, dude. That's Boschwitz.
Well, you know, yeah.
You're speaking Boschwitz there. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
You know, Canada is one of those places. It is truly, truly a beautiful, gorgeous country.
Yes, it is.
And, I mean, it's also a great place where you can go and see the Northern Lights a bit more regularly.
Yes,
and
it is.
And that's so flipping cool.
Yes.
It's really flipping cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I want to throw this out there right up front. There's so much good music came from Canada. So many amazing musicians. Someone's going to be offended because somebody is.
Oh,
someone's waiting to hear.
I'm offended, and I thought about that multiple times while I was creating my own list.
I like really disappointed somebody today when I told them there was no Justin Bieber on the show tonight.
Yeah. I cried a little bit, but, well, you know, I was... Yeah.
It wasn't you.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, you're cute, but no, it wasn't you.
There's no triumph?
No.
I still don't understand the triumph hatred, but...
There's no Drake.
There is no Drake.
Which makes me feel...
Unhip?
Yeah.
I should have picked Drake, but I didn't.
I was actually counting on you to pick some Drake.
Well, I mean... I go hot and cold on Drake, to be quite honest with you. There's some albums of his that I really like, and then some I'm like,
Yeah, no, but the last album like made him the biggest thing in the whole freaking world.
Yeah, it didn't blow my socks off.
Okay.
There's
no Weekend?
There's no Weekend. Oh, yeah, that was mine. I screwed that one up Hours record,
yeah.
The Grammys dissed him, and now I did too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. There's no Leonard Cohen.
No, there's no Leonard Cohen.
You know, so First We Take Manhattan, we're not playing Hallelujah by him.
Yeah, I did play First We Take Manhattan on a show.
Okay, now I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
But however, we did play Loverboy. We opened with Working for the Weekend, and go ahead, rip on me.
I just,
I love the song. That's a great way to start anything.
Like I said, I'm just really glad you didn't go with Turn Me Loose. That we would have had words about that. You know, I mean.
I would have gone with Lucky Ones, but that's, I love that whole middle section. Never mind.
No. Like, but a couple of weeks ago, we did the whole, Journey, REO Speedwagon, Foreigner thing.
The trifecta.
And I said that Styx would probably work in there, too. Mm-hmm. Frankly, Loverboy works into that also.
I choose
to ignore Loverboy.
Oh.
Because I don't care for Loverboy.
I love him. You know, that working for the weekend is like pure 1981. That was on. That's a classic on my Brandon Junior High playlist, which covers 81 to 82, and I play that all the time.
I cannot tell you how many times I have heard that song at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
Yeah.
It's either Loverboy or Huey Lewis in the News.
And so now you're hearing it 7 o'clock on a Thursday.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, now that we're getting older, but everything happens earlier. Well, you have dinner at 3 in the afternoon. You go to sleep at 7 p.m. So
Thursday is the new Friday.
Exactly.
Plenty of people are podcasting this and are actually hearing it on Friday. I'll bet you someone is going to hear this at 5 o'clock on Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're not. Okay. Anyhow, that was Loverboy, yeah. Mike Reno and the crew.
Right.
Seemed like a good way to kick it off.
Sure. Well, I got it.
Okay,
I got the song out of the way right away.
So that's how you're going
to
play it.
If we had to play a Loverboy song, Working for the Weekend was the one to play.
That's true.
So I'll roll. And they have been a big band in Canada. You know who else we didn't play?
Who?
Glass Tiger.
No, we did not.
No Glass Tiger.
We did not.
Yeah.
Wow, I like Glass Tiger. See, that
these are all,
Red Line album, I really like that one.
I'm throwing all these names out that I fully expected you to...
And you're mentioning them, and then I'm going, oh, that's right, I didn't include The Weeknd. And I only spent pretty much a big chunk of 2020 listening to that record.
Did you know that The Weeknd is Canadian?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I totally forgot about it, though, you know.
You know what would be really
go
funny?
Go ahead.
You're really funny if The Weeknd like got super, 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 super rich and employed a whole lot of people, and then they'd all be working for the weekend.
Oh, gosh. I can't. Oh, you know what?
I did it.
You did. The views of Rich Larson do not, and humor of Rich Larson do not reflect those of myself.
I know there are people out there chuckling. I know there. So, that's happening.
But
so
Canada.
Yeah, Canada.
So, hey, here's an interesting tidbit. You know what I found out recently?
No.
You know Justin Trudeau?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the rock star prime minister.
His dad was Pierre Trudeau.
Yeah.
His mom had an affair with Keith Richards while she was married to the prime minister
of
Canada.
Right, and caused that whole scandal.
Yes.
You want to know an interesting little tidbit about Justin Trudeau?
Keith Richards is really his dad?
No, actually, he's a distant cousin of mine.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I
is
found
Keith
this
Richards
out recently.
Is Keith Richards really your dad? Sorry, Wes.
No, but if Justin Trudeau, if I'm however many steps removed from Justin Trudeau, then I guess Keith Richards makes sense.
Right.
I don't know how it all works. There's time and space involved and all kinds of confusing stuff.
Yeah, anyway. So,
but
really?
Anyhow, I found out that Justin Trudeau is actually a distant cousin about a, I don't know, something removed.
Do you think he would pick up the phone and call him?
I don't think. He'd be like, what the hell?
If Monty called him, would he take Monty's phone?
I don't know.
Call?
Also, there's a Daniel Moyer who is in Canada and he is a musician. If you Google it, there's a Daniel Moyer band.
I'm going to guess there's a Daniel Moyer who's a musician in Scotland. I'm going to guess there's a Daniel Moyer who's a musician in California.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
There's multiple me's.
I know.
I'm busy. I'm in every place all at once. I don't know how I do it. I'm really exhausted and I never sleep. This is why I drink coffee. Let me talk a little bit faster so that I can really get this down. I'm going to shut up now.
Burton Cummings. Randy Bachman.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two guys I can name from the Guess Who, but those are the two important guys.
Yeah, right there. Bachman Turner Overdrive, too.
Well, but we're not talking
about we're talking about the Guess Who. Okay, so tell us about this next song, what we're going to play.
It's a song called No Sugar Tonight and New Mother Nature.
Yeah, I
right
love
here
this
song. On 95.1 KYMN, The One.
Thank you. sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to run with me. Dun da da da.
Just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pavlov's dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. Just listening and re-listening to smile.
but I was 300 pounds. With no eyes, very heavy, I floated till I couldn't see the ground. I floated till I couldn't see the ground. Oh, somebody help me. I couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me. Couldn't see the ground. Somebody help me. Because I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Ooh, yeah. Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night, just a check down the late night record shop.
From their Gordon album, that was the Bare Naked Ladies with Brian Wilson here on the Weekly List. Now, Rich, as you noticed, I'm wearing a kilt tonight.
You are.
And that's because my clan is the Gordon clan.
Oh,
and
is that right?
Yeah, because I was looking through this, and this is the album Gordon, and so I think that, you know, I had to wear this. So you picked this song.
I am Clan Logan.
Clan Logan.
Yes.
Very nice.
Clan Logan.
Clan Logan.
Clan Logan.
So you picked this song. Now, can you elucidate as to why you picked this song by Bare Naked Ladies? I mean, I'm no disrespect. I would have gone with If I Had $1 Million. There's no way I would have touched One Week.
No, thank you.
And I'm glad, you know, everybody knows it, but, you know, the theme from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that
yeah,
way.
No.
But so you went with Brian Wilson. Elucidate now on why that was your pick.
From their debut album, their 1992 debut album. To put it succinctly, I wouldn't think that I wouldn't think that Bare Naked Ladies is a very good band if it wasn't for Brian Wilson. I'm not a huge Bare Naked Ladies fan, but I think that is a phenomenal song.
It's, I'm not saying that it's not a good song. It is a good song.
Okay.
And then that the end is just fury.
Yeah,
I love that.
But the whole thing, I mean, there's this, that slow burn groove to it. When they kick into that groove, like, you know, mm-hmm. like halfway through the chorus, that first chorus, it's just it's beautiful. And I love some of the lyrics. I like some historical. I mean, the Brian Wilson thing. I mean, most people, I think, know Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Kind of went a little bit.
He spent, what was it, a year in bed?
He spent the better part of the 70s in his bedroom.
Yeah.
He built a sandbox.
That's right.
In his bedroom. Gained a whole lot of weight.
Yeah.
And wasn't just, in fact, I mean, in fact, into the 80s, he just, to this day, actually, he's still a little bit not quite.
Yeah, the guy's
right.
A genius, though.
He's, yeah.
I mean, he's a complete
genius. He's a musical genius, without question.
One of the best.
But when he was in that state, he got hooked up with this psychiatrist, I think, named Eugene Landy.
Yeah.
And there's this, that great line that tells me, Dr. Landy, you're not just a pedagogue.
There's good lyrics. Yeah. You know, tells a story.
I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson did. I love that song.
Yeah. Well, like I said, good song. I was kind of a little bit surprised.
Yeah, and the last good Bare Naked Ladies song. Frankly.
And it's from their first album.
It's probably, I think it might have actually been their first single.
So not a big fan, but yet it meant something to you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Great
like
song.
Like I said, I would have gone If I Had $1 Million, but that's just because.
I'm just not a huge fan of
No, that's okay. That's
and
okay.
Here, when I first heard If I Had $1 Million,
mm-hmm.
I liked it. I did. And then I heard it again, and I heard it again.
And you kind of went, oh, I haven't heard it.
And It got stuck in my head and never left.
Yeah.
I hate that song.
So it's like me and Michael Jackson's PYT.
Exactly. Oh, don't even say it.
Yeah.
Although I kind of like the end of that song, PYT.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Okay, so the next song that we
Can I tell you real quick? I had not heard this song. It might be 35 years.
Really? The next one that we're going to play?
Yeah. I'd forgotten about this song.
A lot of people have.
I'd forgotten how much I liked this song when I was 15 years old.
I feel like this is a setup to run me over, you know?
And now hearing it through, shall we say, more seasoned ears.
Okay.
I was taken by the production and the drumming on this song.
The thing about,
which is not something one normally says about 80s pop music.
No, this next song that we're going to be playing is by Corey Hart. Mm-hmm. It's from his 1984 debut album, First Offense. And this song has always really stuck out to me. The song, of course, is called It Ain't Enough.
Of course. Most people wouldn't have guessed that we're going to play...
Everybody was, you're going to play Corey Hart. Well, that means it's going to be Sunglasses at Night.
Right,
no.
Right.
If you listen to the album, and I noticed this right at the very beginning, there's Sunglasses at Night, and then there's the other nine songs. The other nine songs have a different sonic quality. I mean, night and day. And I had found this out, and I remember this long ago, that when he had first recorded the album, there were the nine songs, and somehow a copy of it got passed on to Billy Joel. I don't know why, but Billy Joel was really struck by Corey Hart's songwriting ability, so he called him up and said, hey, love the album, this is really good, you don't have a lead-off single. You know? And so then on the fly, Corey Hart came up with Sunglasses at Night. My theory was always been, Billy Joel at the time was around the time of Innocent Man, was wearing the Ray-Bans, was kind of rocking that look, and he was really at the height of his pop chart.
Yes, he was.
You know, there was, what, six, seven singles from that record?
I don't even remember.
But so anyhow, that's Sunglasses at Night sounds so radically different than the rest of the album, because the other nine songs have got sax in it and all kinds of stuff, but the song It Ain't Enough was the second single off that record. The thing that I always have loved about this, and you hear it especially on headphones, the drums just cook. There's a groove there, and it's so solid, and the production is so clean, and the drums, you can isolate them perfectly, and it drives this whole song. So if you're hearing it, yes, it is a ballad, but it is a ballad that moves.
Yeah.
It's got such incredible movement, and then as a result, all the other instruments play off of that beat, and it enhances it. So this is a song that just sounds incredible to me, and I have always liked Corey Hart, especially his first three records.
I didn't know he had made a third album.
Oh, he's got tons of albums. The first one was called First Offense. The second album was
Wait. Second Offense?
Boy in the Box. And then the third one was something...
Third Offense?
No. You're going to go strike three? No, it's called Young Man Running. And he's got actually a number of hits. His fourth album was called...
he does not have a number of hits.
Yes, he does. Do you want me to name them?
He does not have a number of hits. He's got...
Never Surrender.
Do you remember Never Surrender?
Yeah,
he's got three hits. He's got Sunglasses at Night.
Can't Help Falling in Love was a cover off the third record.
That was not a hit. That was not a hit.
When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you the chart positions of each one of these on the American charts.
You can tell me it hit number two, and I'm going to tell you it was not a hit. Because nobody cares.
Okay. Anyhow, this song is by Corey Hart from his First Offense album. This is the fantastically, wonderfully, and unfortunately forgotten song. I hope that you really enjoy this. This is It Ain't Enough here on KYMN Radio 95.1, The Maple Leaf.
I could capture all the love the great romantics had. Sing you a song that ain't half bad. But that ain't enough. That ain't enough for you. And I could run across the world to bring you the sun. Look in your eyes. for you. Said it ain't enough. It ain't enough for you.
Sunglasses at Night, chart position number 7 on the American charts. It Ain't Enough, number 17.
Yeah.
Never Surrender,
yeah,
number 3.
Okay.
Boy in the Box, number 26. Everything in My Heart, number 30. Number 1 in Canada. I Am By Your Side,
America,
number 18.
America,
okay.
America.
Number 18, I Am By Your Side. Can't Help Falling in Love, number 24. Also Canadian number 1. All told, 3 Canadian number 1 album or hits by Corey Hart.
United,
total of 9 albums.
United States of America.
I gave you the American charts right
I know.
There. I'm telling you.
But you're insisting
Never Surrender, number 3. Do you remember that summer?
Yeah, those are the 3 I'm conceding.
Okay.
Is Sunglasses at Night, Ain't Enough, and Never Surrender.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, right. I Am By Your Side, number 18. Okay. So coming out of that was Red Rider with Lunatic Fringe. Unbelievably great song. That was Tom Cochran, who also later on had a hit in the early 90s.
Life is a Highway.
Exactly.
Which was then covered by Rascal Flatts, I believe.
That's right. It was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. So do not for a moment try to take credit for this song being.
No, I'm not going to. I'm glad that you played it because this is really an all-time favorite from the early 80s for me.
This was a song that I'd sort of had fallen out of my.
Really?
Yeah. And over the weekend, I never, ever, ever have time to watch old movies.
Okay.
Okay.
So what movie did you watch?
I watched 2 old movies, neither of which were actually very good. Both of which were from the 80s. On Friday night, I watched a movie called At Close Range.
Oh, yeah, the Sean Penn thing.
Sean Penn, Christopher Walken, Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah, that's got the Madonna hit with
right.
Live to Tell.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. That movie, super boring until the last like half an hour.
I've never seen it.
And the last half hour is just intense.
Really?
Really. It's the last half hour is really good. The rest of it is just, it's worth watching for Christopher Walken. But
well, yeah, Christopher Walken is generally a pretty...
Christopher Walken is...
He's a trip.
Yes, okay. And then on Saturday night, I watched... I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this.
Oh, I can't wait now.
I watched Vision Quest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Matthew Modine. And Linda Fiorentino in a highly questionable relationship.
Yeah, but a great soundtrack album, and Lunatic Fringe
was on there, and I went, oh, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good soundtrack.
Yeah.
That also...
That's a very good soundtrack. It's one of the better soundtracks.
That also has Madonna on it.
Does
it not?
Crazy for You.
Yes.
Which is a song that I... Well, I will, as a 52-year-old man, I will tell you that I love that song. That song at times has moved me to tears.
It still does for me.
And I heard it recently and got goosebumps.
Really?
Yeah.
I forgot. That is one of my all-time favorite Madonna songs.
Mine too.
I'm going to have to listen to that again. I'm probably going to get all weepy and... stuff
because
it is man there's the feels on that
yeah
as the kids
but I
would
also
say.
I was also say this Madonna makes an appearance in Vision Quest
that's right she
performing
does
performing that song oh she doesn't like to talk about that
what do you mean
yeah her performance is not good.
Is it really bad
it's a little as Randy Jackson the bassist of Journey would say who used to be on American Idol a little pitchy dog.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch that movie again. Stick it in my Netflix queue.
It's not a good movie.
Well, I know, but
it's
not.
All right, so we're going to play a Brian.
It was not talking about the band Red Rider or Lunatic Fringe at all. It was just talking, how did you get to this? And we revisited Rich's arcane movie
viewing.
Wait, by the way, did you rent that? How did you get a hold of these movies?
It's all everything's on Amazon these days. Man.
Seriously? So I can watch. So tonight when I get home, I can actually watch.
If you're willing to pay $3.99. To rent
well,
the movie.
That saves me some time. Because the last movie that I got from Netflix, you know, I still get the DVDs, is Cats. You know, the new version of Cats.
No! Okay.
No, I got that so that Aileen and I can watch it. Okay.
Let's break this all down for
Okay, let's do this.
First of all,
yep.
You are the last remaining human pulling DVDs out of Netflix.
I know I am.
Via snail mail.
It's great because I forget what I put on the queue, and then all of a sudden I send one back in, and then magically, I have literally had Cats
Why?
Sitting in my house
Why
for 2 months.
Why are you watching? Look, it's a terrible, terrible musical to begin with.
Aileen and I, you know, from last week, she and I were going to sit down and watch Cats and sit there
Why?
And giggle because we thought that would be funny. It's going to, you know how some things are so bad that we're sitting down and going,
never,
we're going to just watch that.
Unless it's Mystery Science Theater 3000,
That's how we're going to do it.
No. I would watch Mystery Science Theater 3000 break it down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit there and do it myself.
You should watch a movie with Eileen and I.
No.
It's really hilarious.
No.
Come on, you heard her on the radio. She's a riot.
Yeah, but you guys are watching movies like Cats. I'm not doing that.
I think... We're going to have fun. The problem is we got to do this sometime because I've been sitting on it for 2 months. It's 2 months this DVD has been sitting on the pile, and it hasn't even come out of the little folder. I literally got it, and I'm like, hey, Kate, Katz is here. Yeah, not now. Oh, come on. Well, just hang on to it.
You know why she doesn't want to watch it?
What?
Because it's really bad.
I know it's bad. Look, it's got James Corden looking at it as a cat, and it's got Dame Judi Dench as a cat.
I hope those people got paid buckets and buckets and buckets of money.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, between now and the next time, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch Cats, and then I'm going to come back with my special report on how that is. And it's probably, Eileen's not going to be sitting watching it with me. I'm going to come back and go, yeah, I got through 10 minutes, and now I dropped it back in the mail.
Yeah, if you come back and say anything other than that,
you're going to disown me?
I will eviscerate you.
Wow. That's like a Mars attack.
Do you want to look that word up?
I know what eviscerate means. Come on, man.
Let's talk about Bryan Adams.
Okay,
let's talk.
Yes.
Another song that did not make the cut. I actually this morning was fully intent on replacing one of my songs with the song I'm about, but then I realized almost a year ago, like we're within 2 weeks of you. The anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of you making your debut on the weekly list.
Really?
Because you came down on July, whatever it would have been, July 13th, as a matter of fact, and we did the Live Aid show together.
That's right.
And that was
awesome.
You had done the, okay. But like that was the one where that sort of set things in motion for the rest of all of the stuff.
Right.
And I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure we played the song Tears Are Not Enough on the Live Aid show.
I think we did. It sounds right.
I hope we did, because if we didn't, I'm going to have to find a way to play it on some other show and not...
We'll do like a charity thing and play like
right.
all of them.
Tears Are Not Enough.
The shortest show ever.
Was the Canadian We Are the World.
Right.
Tears Are Not Enough was the Canadian Do They Know It's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a song written by Bryan Adams.
And Jim Vallance.
And of those three, I have always felt like Tears Are Not Enough is the superior song
of those three.
Of We Are the World, Do They Know It's Christmas, and Tears Are Not Enough.
Oh, I gotta go with Do They Know It's Christmas.
Tears Are Not Enough.
Okay. Well, yeah. We're gonna disagree.
And frankly, it's also because
it's a good song, though. It's certainly better than We Are the World.
Well, and We Are the World has three of my Mount Rushmore people on it. Tears Are Not
Still.
Enough has two of my Mount Rushmore people on it. But still.
Yeah.
But Tears Are Not Enough. The Trump card in all of this, Tears Are Not Enough, starts with Gordon Lightfoot.
Good night, everybody. That's pretty good. I'll give you that. Okay, Bryan Adams. The reason I picked this is Bryan Adams, summer of 83, Journey was huge on the Frontiers Tour.
Sure.
Okay? They were scheduled to play two nights at the St. Paul Civic Center. I love Journey.
Yes.
And I've always loved Journey.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go in the worst way.
Yes.
And I spent an hour on hold getting tickets over Ticketmaster, and I got them.
That was a long-distance phone call, too.
That was a long-distance call. Let's just say there were words that were told to me about that when we got the phone bill.
Yeah.
That, you know, when the cost of the phone call is almost equal to what it cost to buy two tickets.
$14, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and tickets were not expensive. But, no. Well, they were expensive to me as a teenager,
right.
But, you know,
right.
expensive in 2021 dollars? No, not at all.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I went and saw, it was going to be Journey Frontiers, and opening was some kid named Bryan Adams. Had no idea.
No.
And so he'd come out with a song Straight from the Heart.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, it's okay. You know, it's a nice little ballad. And then he put out the song Cuts Like a Knife as the second single.
Right.
And the Cuts Like a Knife, I want to say that it had just been released about a week before.
Yeah, I have something to say about this show when
sure.
you're done.
So anyhow, I was like, okay, this is pretty good. I went, Bryan Adams, to this date, That was the best opening act I have ever seen for any band at any time. He blew me away, so much so that I did one thing that I've done since, but not so much. The next day, I immediately went to the record store and I bought Cuts Like a Knife. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed that this song, Lonely Night, was not on that. It's from the album before it, the one right before it.
Right.
And
which is that a self-titled album?
No. That was his first album. His second one is You're Gonna Get It or something like that, which is also a really good record. It's kind of a setup record. But Lonely Nights, I remember really standing out. And for me, it's got so many great dynamic parts. It's got a cool bridge, and it, you know, it's just got that vibe to it.
Cool.
So anyhow, tell us your Bryan Adams stuff.
Oh, all I was going to say is that when I first met you, one of the first conversations, not the first, but one of the first conversations you had, you and I had, you told me that you believe the best lyrics ever written are Na Na Na.
Yes.
All right. Well, that concert, the Bryan Adams Journey concert, was the sort of living embodiment of
because
it's Cuts Like a Knife, and Love and Touch and Squeezing.
Yep.
So like I got
all my nas.
You got all your nas, right?
Got all
there.
The nas.
Get
right
your
there.
Na-nas out. This is Bryan Adams with Lonely Nights on 95.1 KYMN.
The Na.
I don't know. Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say.
Great, the mighty, the wise, the pious Bruce Coburn.
a little bit.
He's a solid Christian. With If I Had a Rocket Launcher from 1983, it's Fire. What the hell is the name of the
It's called Stealing Fire. Is the name of the album.
Yeah. There's another song on that album called Lovers in a Dangerous Time.
Yes.
God, that's it's a just
good,
a great...
The whole record is good. I love that.
Coburn is great.
Yeah, he is.
Bruce Coburn is... In Canada, he is revered like he's Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, he is.
He's more of a cult guy. I saw Bruce Coburn
many
years ago at the Orpheum Theater.
Now, here's the thing. I claim this song. This was my pick.
You're right, and I should not be. I don't want anyone to think.
Dude, you know?
I was really glad, actually, you put this on the list, because if you hadn't, then I was going to have to.
Yeah, you would have to, because Bruce Coburn. You cannot talk about Canadian music without recognizing him.
Absolutely.
You just can't.
You can't.
I mean,
I agree.
He is the Springsteen of there. It's just like Paul Kelly is the Springsteen of Australia.
Right. Chris Rea is the Springsteen of France.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I can see that. I really liked how you paired that, because both of these songs are mine. Lonely Nights and then If I Had a Rocket Launcher. The thing that I like about If I Had a Rocket Launcher, it's taking the position, the lyrical viewpoint of the person that's, you know, whether you want to call it a freedom fighter or whatever, but they're getting bombed. And it doesn't really pick a side. It just basically says, from my own personal point of view, this is somebody that's doing this to me and my people. And it gets, in my mind, it really gets down to the futility and the stupidity of the whole concept of war in the first place.
Do you know the story behind this song?
No, go ahead. Tell.
He actually witnessed this.
Was this like, this is El Salvador, isn't it?
No, it was a Guatemalan refugee camp in Mexico. And the refugees had been part of an insurgent force who had tried to overthrow the military dictator in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Dude was vindictive and sent his guys over the border to hit the camps.
Wow.
And Coburn was there with Oxfam.
Okay.
And
he saw it happen.
Watched this happen.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm a pacifist, so you know my take on all this kind of stuff. I think the war is basically a bunch of old generals with squibbles and squabbles and stuff, and I think it's ridiculous.
I've always been kind of a pacifist. My father taught me, never hit anybody in anger unless you're pretty sure you can get away with it. Sorry, I stole that from Harold Ramis.
Anyhow, those two songs together, I really like it because they've got tremendous force. They both have incredible drum parts. I guess looking at all the songs I picked, I went with these really great drum parts.
Yeah, you did.
And these great grooves, and I like the syncopated guitars like that were in Lonely Nights at start. Nobody plays guitar like that anymore. Mm-hmm. Man, I love that kind of stuff. And the guitar sound that Coburn has in If I Had a Rocket Launcher. If you ever get a chance, go out, do yourself a favor, go on Spotify, listen to the entire Stealing Fire album. You'll do yourself a real big favor.
And then go listen to Dancing in the Dragon's Jaws.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah,
Go and if you haven't ever heard of him before, well, you're welcome.
Coburn.
Bruce Coburn.
C-O-C-K-B-U-R-N.
Yes.
The C-K is silent.
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyhow, what have we got next, Rich?
I'm glad you asked, Danny.
Let's see. It feels like about time for the Weekly List Haiku Corner. Do you know why? Because they call you Haiku Rich.
Thank you, Danny.
Yes. I'm seriously really jazzed about what you're going to come out with this time because, you know,
Canada.
It could be anything. I know it's going to be Canada. So I'm going to count syllables. You go ahead and do what you got to do.
Okay, I did it right. Right. It's a lovely place. Their main coin is a loony. They make great poutine.
Okay.
It looked like refuge during the Donald Trump years. A place to run to.
You know, we could have played Bryan Adams' Run to You.
Thank you for picking up the
I got it. No, dude, I'm locked in. All right, so do we have a third one too?
They play hockey there. Montreal might win the cup for all Canada.
I still like the poutine one. That was pretty good.
Well,
the
you.
Donald Trump thing was good because especially the hidden little Bryan Adams reference.
Adams yeah. There, yeah.
After
yeah.
a Bryan Adams set there.
Yeah.
That was okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. Haiku Rich.
Montreal Canadiens are currently playing the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals right now. Or as The Canadians are also known sometimes as les habitants.
The habitants. I thought you said no French on the weekly list.
This is Canadian French. That's all right.
So French-Canadian is fine, but my French is not.
So les habitants then get shortened to the Habs.
Yeah, the Habs. I get it.
No, the Habs. Just the H-A-B-S. Okay. So go Habs. Bring that
cup home. You know how much in touch with hockey I am.
You don't even know what hockey is.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You were
born in California.
Yeah,
you're not supposed
and I
to
lived on the
is.
East Coast. And, you know,
they play lots of hockey on the East Coast, dude. Just
well,
not,
I know,
not
but
in Virginia.
You surf. You don't do that.
Right.
You know,
they
I don't
do,
put anything on
actually,
my feet like
they
that.
Play quite a bit of really good hockey in Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where
well,
you lived.
I know, but...
But they didn't start playing good hockey there until after you left.
Right.
They're looking around. Is he gone? Okay. All right. Let's play hockey.
It's a bad idea to put me on skates. Ask anybody. Trust me. It's a bad idea.
I like hockey. I grew up in Edina. I like hockey.
You
very,
have to,
very
I think,
much.
You know.
Yes.
I wasn't born in Minnesota. I was, what, 15, 16 when I moved here?
All right. Let's get the basic stuff out of the way first.
Okay.
Danny.
Yes.
Are you fully vaccinated?
Yes, sir, I am.
You are? Well, yes, good for you. You know what? Well, when you go to Imminent Brewing, you don't have to wear a mask.
Dope.
Danny. Do you believe that the pandemic is over and 100% behind us?
Not by a long shot.
Me neither. Neither does the management at Imminent Brewing. Now, look, I know that we were supposed to be pretty much done with this thing by now, but now there's this new Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus that's like running rampant in Mississippi and California.
Yeah. All 50 states now.
Yeah.
According to what I
saw
in the news.
They just reinstated the mask mandate in Los Angeles County.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think that happened today. And for those of us who actually care about public health and public safety, it's making me nervous.
It makes me nervous, too.
So they're gonna ask those of you who are not yet fully vaccinated, and by fully vaccinated, vaccinated, I mean 2 weeks removed from the shot that would complete the vaccine cycle. And then we're going to ask you to wear a mask. Wait, what did I just write?
If you haven't been 2 weeks past, you're gonna wear a mask.
Like if you aren't vaccinated, if you're not 2 weeks past your vaccination, then please wear a mask. Now, there's no way for us to enforce this rule, so it comes down to personal responsibility. You can be a jerk, and you can say you're vaccinated when you're not, but what does that say about your character?
Yeah.
What does that say about your integrity? The thing is, no one is going to ask you if you're vaccinated. So if you're not wearing a mask, we're just going to assume that you are. And if you're going to lie about it, well, then you're just going to have to live with yourself.
Yeah. I got to tell you, just on a side note, if you haven't gotten your vaccination, seriously do. I know that there's a lot of weird stuff and people are talking about, well, it changes my DNA. There's government tracking.
It makes you magnetic.
You got an iPhone. And I will tell you this. This is, in all honesty, there are some side effects because right now I'm wearing a kilt. And if that's the worst that can happen,
you wearing a kilt has nothing to do with you.
I was trying to go, you know, wearing a kilt is incredibly comfortable.
I don't doubt it.
Okay. So I'm going to just stop right there. The point is if you seriously,
what do you got on under the kilt?
Do you want to see? This is radio. I can show you. It's radio. I have no problem. There's nothing visual about this.
I've seen it before. Anyway, I would say it's about 85% back to business as usual, maybe 80%, still operating at 85% capacity, and there still isn't live music. Oh, wait.
Okay.
Guess what?
What?
Live music is back, baby.
I heard you say that, and I got all a Twitter. Because you know we're in a kilt, so
the kilt lifted, right? This Friday night, 7 p.m. The great John Manners will be back.
Seriously?
Yes, John,
he's awesome. He's really great. If you haven't seen him,
I have said for years that John Manners is the
he's a Bruce Springsteen of Northfield. I mean,
he is the living embodiment of the fickle finger of fate. I truly believe that John Manners was walking down a street one day, and had he turned left instead of right, he would be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right now.
Man, the dude is good. He's really good. So that's going to be, he's the guy that's opening the season at Imminent.
Yes.
You're going to have a, definitely if you have not
Yeah.
Go see him.
Yeah, he's great.
You're going to have fun. That's going to be a fun night Friday night.
It's the first live music we've had at Imminent Brewing since we're ready for this. March 8th of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. So even as we're still not totally ready to call this thing over, we have taken one more step back to the way things should be, and this is a big one, right? I mean, live music, John Manners, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. And you know what? Pretty much everything else is the way it's been for 4 years, minus the pandemic year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
Right. Dragon Squirrel, Juicy IPA, Cannon River Pale Ale, Wolf Creek IPA, Session Mark Hill Wheat, Zombie Palm Sour Ale.
Wait, what's that? Zombie, what?
Zombie Palm.
Is that new?
Zombie Palm. It's a cranberry pomegranate sour ale.
Interesting.
Yes.
You know, that would be, I'm going to have to try that. Yeah. That sounds good.
It makes my, yeah, it's really good.
What, you it sounds good.
It's really good. I have an ulcer, so I
oh, yeah,
I
that's,
can't drink a
so
lot
much.
Of sour,
yeah.
But I do, it's really good.
Yeah.
Lockwood Pre-Prohibition Style Lager and Rumination Brown Ale.
Which also causes you to think, which is a dangerous thing for you
it's
and I.
It's a thoughtful beer.
A thoughtful beer.
Tomorrow it's Uncle B's Last Chance Barbecue Shack. Saturday it's Cafe Sean Pizza Night. And Sunday, oh yeah, Sunday we really need to mention this. Sunday, Imminent Brewing is closed.
What?
Because of Independence Day.
Oh.
If we were in Canada, Imminent Brewing would be closed today. But we're not. We're in America, okay. So it's closed on Sunday.
Okay.
Because it's Canada Day.
It's Canada Day on and, July you know, 1st, and so we're
exactly. So we'd be closed in Canada, but we're not closed in Canada.
I need a rumination beer because this is a lot of thought for me.
Anyway, get your growlers on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, just
wise,
plan ahead.
Wise.
All right. Imminent Brewing is open 4 to 8 on Thursdays, 4 to 9 on Fridays, 2 to 9 on Saturdays, 2 to 7 on Sundays.
No, it's not. Not
except
two,
not this
except,
Sunday.
Exactly.
Right. As always, the information you need can be found on the website at imminentbrewing.com.
That's great. I mean, how exciting is that live music comes back at
it
Northfield's
is.
Living room
and
right
gonna,
there?
We're going to do a couple of nights of music in July, probably 3 nights of music in August, and then we're going to see what's what.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Man, that's, and dude, you guys are starting out with a heavy hitter, so
yeah,
that's,
we are.
That's pretty
yeah,
cool.
We, and we're really lucky to have
yeah,
you too.
Yeah, that's yeah. excellent. So.
Okay, so now we come into the portion of the show that I would just label Rich.
This is the Rich. Right now, we're basically going to have the Rich show with me interjecting a couple little things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So here's, I know that you love the band. I know that you love The Last Waltz, that whole album and the movie.
If you go into the archives of the Weekly List, you will find that I did an entire show devoted to The Last Waltz, the first Thanksgiving that I had the show.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Is that movie out on DVD?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, I would loan it to you.
Okay. Well, I've seen it, of course. It's just been a while. I was I was realizing as I was listening to it this week, I went, oh yeah, I gave Rich all of these Neil Young CDs for your birthday, and I'm like, oh, does he have a copy of Last Waltz? I should have given him a copy of Last Waltz. And
I think I own 3 different copies.
What a shock. Well, and I mean, I know I always like the Neil Diamond Dry Your Eyes that's on there. That's a really good version.
That is the only time Neil Diamond ever performed that song.
Yeah.
Was at The Last Waltz.
And it was because Robbie Robertson from the band had produced Beautiful Noise.
Yes, which is the album it came from, which had just come out.
Right.
And let me tell you, Levon Helm raised holy hell with Robbie Robertson. Why is Neil Diamond on this bill? The only reason Neil Diamond is on this bill, and you know what?
It is true.
Levon was right.
He was right.
And Rob, like we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Robbie's not a good guy.
No. He was doing that for self. Hey, the band is over, and I'm going to chart my next thing, and it's going to be with Neil Diamond.
I mean, Levon was not impressed.
Yeah. I liked the version of Dry Your Eyes, but I also
you know what? I do, too.
Yeah, it's a good version.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole Last Waltz album is really good, so tell us something about this song that you're going to play.
Acadian Driftwood. This song is about the Acadian expulsion of like 1780 something or other. It was when during the French Indian War, and the British took at the end of the British took a chunk of land from France in Canada, and these were these are not indigenous people. These were people who had settled, or the descendants of people who had settled in that area from France, and were loyal to France, and actually like were running some little like guerrilla shenanigans against the British.
Because the Brits and the French, not real, you know.
No, not at the end of the 18th century, man. not even close.
Twist, idiot.
So, but, okay, anyway, cheeky fellow. So what happened was, though, I mean, it wasn't like every Acadian. Right. It was
right.
Just, but like there were Acadians that were running some guerrilla tactics and all that stuff. And the British rounded up all of the Acadians and marched them to New Orleans.
So, in other words, this is kind of like if I had a rocket launcher pre.
It's, or, you know,
just kind of, you know,
the Bataan Death March,
yeah.
The, you know, to a lesser extent, the Trail of Tears.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
And then they got down there and were expelled again. But there's a whole like huge group of Acadians that stayed in Louisiana, right? And the descendants of the Acadians are now referred to as, you ready?
Ready.
Cajuns.
Yep.
And
I knew that.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Oh. You even went with Paul Harvey there.
Paul Harvey was a jerk.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, I picked this song. This is not my favorite band song. It's a very good song.
It's a very good song.
Very good song. I picked this one because Robbie explains it going into the song.
Yeah.
It's a song about Canada. They pull all the The Last Waltz was, of course, the band's final performance or final show.
The Last Waltz.
The Last Waltz. And they had a whole bunch of special guests. And so they pulled all of the special Canadian guests onto stage to sing with them. So basically it's the band and Joni Mitchell and Neil Young.
Okay. So that's why you went with it. Okay.
But you can't really hear Joni and Neil. They're just kind of singing in the background, but they're on the stage. So, you know.
Anyhow, I just thought it was interesting because I know that you love the, you didn't play like The Weight or anything like that,
nope.
But
nope.
You know, so good.
Nope.
All right.
This is a really, though, it's also a very good example of the band had three lead singers, Levon Helm, Richard Manuel, and Rick Danko. Mm-hmm. When those three guys worked together, it's Crosby, Stills, and Nash-like,
yeah.
what they were able to do. And this is a really good example of that, actually.
Good.
So from Thanksgiving 1976, Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco. This is the band, along with a whole bunch of other Canadians, with Acadian Driftwood, 95.1.
We're going to do another Canadian song. We're going to bring out some of the Canadians to help us do it.
Acadian Driftwood. States, children, and come on now. Acadian driftwood, gypsy tailwind, they call my home the land of snow. Canadian cold front, moving in. What a way to ride, oh, what a way to go.
be a gypsy dancer. He went to California. Hearing that everything's warmer there, so you write him a letter and say her eyes are blue. He sends you a poem and she's lost to you. Little green, he's a non-conformer, just a little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes they'll be sorrow. Child with a child pretending, weary of lies you are sending home. So you sign all the papers in the family name. You're sad and you're sorry, but you're not ashamed. A little green, have a happy ending. A little green, like the color when the spring is born. There'll be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. Just a little green, like the nights when the northern lights perform. There'll be icicles and birthday clothes, and sometimes there'll be so.
That was Joni Mitchell. Roberta Joan Mitchell of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. My musical Mount Rushmore is Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Joni Mitchell, Bob Dylan, and Neil Young. And Joni is front and center. Me and Prince, man. We love Joni Mitchell.
And that's from the Blue Album.
That is from, which just this past week, mm-hmm. celebrated its 50th anniversary.
Really?
Yeah, it came out like June whatever, 1971.
Thanks for really locking that down there.
Last week of June of 1971, and is one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's one of those albums that you're not a music fan if you haven't got that someplace floating around. I mean, you're just not.
There's a million Joni songs that I could have gone with.
Yep.
I went with that one. That song is actually very, very personal to me.
Really?
I'm adopted.
Right.
Right. excuse me. And I have a very good relationship with my birth mother. Mm-hmm. I found her in 1994 when I was mm-hmm. 25 years old. And I have family in Kentucky that I adore, and I claim Kentucky heritage.
Oh, I know. You know, that's the thing. I remember when that all went down years and years ago. Yeah. And I remember our conversations about that and your nervousness and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was scared and nervous for you, you know? So, you can speak to this. I can't, but you know, it's because you're my boy.
Right. Right.
But no, I think that's one of the most wonderful things.
And I've been very fortunate. A lot of people, adopted people who go and find their birth families don't have the experience that I have had.
Right.
Joni gave up a daughter for adoption. when she was much younger, long before she had recorded Blue. Little Green is about the daughter that she gave up for adoption. Now, the thing is, it was within like 5 years of my finding my birth mom that this story became public. And Joni explained, well, this is what Little Green is about because my birth daughter has now found me. And it's something that my birth mom and I have sort of bonded over. This
really?
Song. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That song means
a ton to me.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I mean, we were commenting about this, and of course, you told me, I think it was the edicts that I was told about picking Canadian musicians is that I'm not to touch Joni Mitchell and I'm not to touch Neil Young. And of course,
Or the band.
Yeah. That was right. All three of those I was not to touch, and I went, well.
And you what did you tell me? You had Rush and Bryan Adams.
Yes. Yeah, okay. And I was like, you don't touch them.
Right. Okay.
The thing about, I'm really glad that you brought this song. Joni Mitchell can be very insurmountable to, you know.
I especially the deeper you get into her catalog.
Yes, and you're much more of a Joni Mitchell person than I am.
A huge fan.
You really are. But some of her stuff becomes a little impenetrable.
Yep.
And if I were going, if somebody said, hey, I have no idea, and they asked me, what Joni Mitchell songs should I, you know, would you play that could get me interested? The first one that I'd probably go with, to be quite honest with you, is River.
Yeah.
Because I just, man, I just adore that. Yeah. But this song from Blue, Little Green, would probably be one of them. It would probably be the second one, really. Yeah. And I didn't know that whole story that you just told. Yeah. So that's,
yeah,
dude, that's really beautiful.
The other really cool thing about that is I used to sing that song to my daughter Katie when she was a baby. Not knowing what,
and you didn't know what that was about. See, it's
I mean, you know, just the whole thing. I was holding my daughter and just wanted to sing, you know, there'd be crocuses to bring to school tomorrow. You know what I mean?
And that's a sign of a really good songwriter that it's
right
that she's hidden some stuff and revealed it later. And that's the kind of writer that Joni Mitchell is.
The Weekly List has learned that Joni Mitchell's a pretty good songwriter.
Wow. It's taken a while. Light dawns on marble heads.
Oh my God. I just know Joni. Joni's okay. Anyway. So we move from the great rural area of Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to the Toronto suburbs.
Yes, Toronto suburbs.
And actually, that's appropriate for the song that you've
yes,
chosen here.
This is from the 1982 Signals album, which I really think is a great
which
record.
Which is a band, the band is?
Rush, of course.
Okay.
Rush is one of my all-time favorite record, or favorite bands. Mm-hmm. I think I literally carry all of their albums on my phone with me at all times, and I get kind of... What was it that you just gave me? I was like, yeah, I just absolutely love the band Rush. And then you said...
I like girls.
And like, and I was like, oh, man.
I want to date girls.
And I'm like...
Which is not to imply at all that people who listen to Rush wouldn't want to date girls.
Well, I know, but we're just kind of like a little bunch of...
It's just the stereotype is that you go to a Rush concert and there are no women there.
I've been to many, many Rush shows. It's probably
dudes.
A true stereotype.
98% dudes.
And they've even made the joke about that as well. It's like, oh, it's a good show. Did you see that? There were like three women that were in that audience tonight, you know, and they've joked about themselves.
And they're all dates who were dragged there by the
exactly, boys. Right? Exactly. Yeah. And I've seen Rush many, many times. The death of Neil Peart last year was really difficult for me.
It inspired a whole show we did a whole drummer show basically dedicated to Neil Peart. Yeah.
But this song, and the song that we're going to play is Subdivisions, and it's from the Signals album, 1982. For some reason, this really gets to me. I had to pick one Rush song. I originally suggested all of side one of 2112. That was roundly no.
I'd have been down with it if we. You
that would have been my entire
hours,
choice, right?
Yeah.
Someday we're going to have to do a Rush show because it's difficult to pick just one or even six for me. This one I really like because it got into the heart of what a typical Rush fan is kind of like. It's, you know, conform or be cast out.
Yep.
And I think that where Rush appealed to me is, like I've said, as I've gone throughout my entire life, music has always been a constant companion. No matter where I lived, such and such album lived with me in Virginia Beach, and then it lived with me in Columbus, Ohio, and then it lived, you know, so it was always there. And this whole idea of, you know, the outsider comes right down in Neil Peart's lyrics in Subdivisions, and it gets to the heart of a lot of things that are deeply felt among, you know, I'm not going to claim like I'm an intellectual or anything, but there was a lot of stuff that they spoke about where it, man, Rush actually got me to read, you know, got me to read Ayn Rand and, you know, all of these, you know,
well,
things.
Well, I'm sorry that they got you to read Ayn Rand.
Well, I know, but
it probably also got you to read a little Tolkien, too.
Yes, it did. Absolutely. Yeah. That's J.R.R. Tolkien. I mean, there's so many things. The Crucible, you start reading, you know, from based upon these deep, deep lyrics.
Yep.
And Subdivisions really gets down to what it's like to be an outsider from the inside out and the pressures that you feel. That exist out there among, for everybody, but especially people that may not be the hip crowd.
Right.
So that's why I picked this, and I love this.
Subdivisions from the Signals album, 1982.
Two.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, because it was the album after Moving Pictures.
Right.
Okay. Right here, 95.1 KYMN, The One.
Subdivision.
quiet night. Paddles cut the water in a long and hurried flight from the white man to the fields of green and the homeland we've never seen. They killed us in our teepee and they cut our women.
From 1979, officially, he wrote that song probably in like 1970. What? Just stop. Neil probably wrote that song in like 74. It was supposed to be on an album called Hitchhiker that would have come out in 1976. It was also supposed to come out on an album called Chrome Dreams that would have come out in 1978. Eventually was released on the immortal Rust Never Sleeps in 1979. That, of course, was Neil Young, another face on my Mount Rushmore. And if Tangled Up in Blue by Bob Dylan is not my all-time favorite song, Pocahontas.
I was going to go and say, Rich, what is this song? Who is this? And I knew that there's no way I could possibly sell that because, you know,
yeah.
I remember very clearly you playing this in the Larson International Coffee House, and you do a killer version of Pocahontas.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say
that. I can't do it anymore.
But at one time, Rich of his youth.
I don't have that kind of range in my voice anymore. But
I love that song. That's such a great song.
That was my senior year at Olaf when you were my, you were not my head res, but you were still running Larson.
Yeah.
Yeah. The beginning of my senior year. Was the first time I heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
Pocahontas, I can remember it vividly. I was sitting in my friend had an apartment off campus, and we were listening to, I think we were listening actually to KRLX, the Carleton radio station.
Oh, really?
And this song came on, and everyone else in the room knew this song, and I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
And like from the moment... from those first few chords, this song just picked me up and shook me.
It has that effect.
I was like, what is this?
And it's the way Neil's voice also sounds against those chords.
Right.
Because there's a little bit, it's weird, we're talking about a lot of these songs we're playing tonight, and there's a lot of syncopation that's occurring in this.
Yeah.
And I've always been a big fan of syncopated beats and time and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you hear it in his phrasing against that chord and how he strums. Just, you know.
Yeah.
But it really grabs you. And this song, it's just, I mean, this is Neil Young at one of his finest little moments.
And just, the imagery and the lyrics, man.
Yeah.
Marlon Brando, Pocahontas, and me.
I know. You want to talk about some romantic imagery right there.
Right.
I think that's really kind of cool.
Sitting by the fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well, folks, that's just going to about do it for this.
This
has been a fun show.
Yeah. Hey, happy birthday, Canada. 154 today.
Happy birthday, Canada.
Not bad. You look pretty good. You look pretty good for 154, you know?
To all you hosers up there, if you like the show,
you can't do it. You know, we should have played something by Bob and Doug McKenzie, you know, like Take Off with Geddy Lee.
Right, exactly.
That would have been, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be like the laugh humor. We're definitely.
We are not Bob and Doug McKenzie.
No, we're not, but we're definitely somebody that you should probably laugh at.
Because we think we're pretty good.
We think we're pretty
good. Yeah. Okay, so if you like the show, you can podcast us.
Yep.
Off of Stitcher and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
You're kind of like condescending to me on the Stitcher thing, aren't you?
I think it's important that like I like that the weekly list has sort of grabbed hold of Stitcher.
That's our thing, isn't
Stitcher
it?
Stitcher is our platform of choice.
We also like Apple Music. We also like
Spotify.
The Spotify. We like that. We like all of the various stuff, but you know. The Stitcher thing, and it's not because I've recently bought a lot of stock in it. I don't have any money. I'm divorced. Come on. Crap.
You got more than I do. So podcast the show. Go find us on our the KYMN webpage, kymnradio.net. You can find us on our program page, and all the old shows are archived, so if you want to hear that. If you want to hear that drummer show that I referenced earlier, or the Last Waltz show, you can go look it up, and it's all there. It's all right there. Or you can find us on Facebook under the Weekly List, and I post every new show every Friday morning, and you can listen to us that way too.
Cool.
While you're on Facebook.
And you know, hey, it's July 4th weekend for all of you. The south of the border Yankees. Hey, spend your 4th of July weekend listening to all the KYMN podcasts that are out there.
Go check them out.
You can just binge stream them.
You can, actually. There's plenty to binge and stream. You know, I don't know why, if you live in, you know, say Monroe, Michigan, why you would want to listen to the podcast of Northfield City Engineer Dave Bennett talking about mill and overlay projects in Northfield, but you know, whatever.
It's good to be informed. The stuff that you learn, you pick up from everywhere.
Nashville, Tennessee, or if you live in Columbus, Ohio, or wherever.
Or
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Wendell, Minnesota.
Well, you know.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Moyer, thank you very much for listening to Danny and me. We do appreciate it.
Hey, I got to represent the 56590 zip code. Population 177, man.
You had to think about that for a second.
Well, you know, with the Twins, when we had to enter in the zip codes from places, there's a tremendous fan base for the Minnesota Twins at the 56590.
More than the population?
Yes. Yeah. There have been a couple games where three times the population of the town has attended a Twins game.
That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
All right. So also go like KYMN on Facebook. Mm. Go like Imminent Brewing on Facebook.
More importantly, get yourself to Imminent this Friday night. Listen to
tomorrow night.
Yeah.
The great John Manners.
Yeah. Go check him out.
Yeah.
It's in all seriousness.
Check him out. You know who's almost as cool as John Manners?
You got me.
Nobody.
Well, I know that.
But a guy who could approach that.
Okay.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Yeah, this was one of my picks.
It was, and it, had it not been, it would have been
one of yours. Yeah, Gordon Lightfoot is just kind of one of those guys that I don't think, you know, a lot of people that are into rock and roll and stuff, I don't know that he gets really the cred that he deserves. And of course, whenever you mention that they always come out, oh, Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald, and that's a great song and all that kind of stuff, and it's got that very Celtic looping melody, which I like. Carefree Highway, however, just, it feels like morning to me. It feels like getting out on the road. I'm a big fan of just leaving in the morning in a car and driving, and you got that beautiful sunshine going, and this song just seems like the perfect way of a tranquil start to a road trip, you know?
This song makes me think of my dad. At the end of his life, he was living in Arizona, right off of the Carefree Highway.
Oh,
the
really?
Carefree Highway. And he would always talk about it. Yeah, I'm just going to go hit the Carefree Highway for a while.
That's that's a great notion.
Yes. And I love that I have that attached to this song now.
Oh.
Anyway.
I had no idea. This has been a lot of sharing and caring today.
We've been holding hands. Thank you, Canada. You've brought out all the emotions. You brought out all the feels.
Yeah, it really has. We haven't fought about
anything.
We've been really copacetic tonight.
We got the lover boy thing out of the way right away. And after that, it's been good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow,
so
I don't even know where to go with that.
Well, let's just end it right there. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is what album is this from? I don't even know. I know
it's off my copy of Gord's Gold.
Well, that's where I know it too. But okay, I'm going to imagine the early 70s.
Yeah.
Gordon Lightfoot with Carefree Highway.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Peace.
Picking up the pieces of my sweet shattered dream. I wonder how the old folks are tonight. Name was Anne, and I'll be damned if I recall her face. She left me not knowing what to do. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Carefree highway, you've seen better days. The morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Carefree highway, me slip away on you. Turning back the pages to the times I love best, I wonder if she'll ever do the same. Now the thing that I call living, just being satisfied with knowing I got no one left to blame. Carefree highway, I got to see you, my old flame. Carefree highway, you've seen better days. The morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Carefree highway, let me slip away, slip away on you. Searching through the fragments of my dream-shattered sleep, I wonder if the years have closed your mind. I guess it must be wanderlust or trying to get free from the good old faithful feeling we once knew. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Carefree highway, you've seen the better days. The morning after blues, from my head down to my shoes. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you. Me slip away on you. Carefree highway, I got to see you, my old friend. Carefree highway, you seem
days, the morning after blue, from my head down to my shoe. Carefree highway, let me slip away on you.